In Ezekiel 31, you have another prophecy against Egypt. And why does Jeremiah keep on against Egypt? Well, it's because although he was amongst the first group of exiles, the majority of Judah were still back there in the land, and they were being threatened by Babylon, and their temptation was to trust in Egypt. Now, this is the age-old temptation, is it not? To trust in human strength rather than in God. And in fact, 100 years before, the same situation had worked out when the Assyrians were attacking them and had surrounded them, and they again were tempted to trust in Egypt. And initially it seemed to work because the Assyrians actually withdrew from Jerusalem because of the Egyptians. And again, it repeated with the Babylonians. They trusted in Egypt. It seemed to work to start with. The Babylonians, Jeremiah 37 records this, the Babylonians withdrew, dealt with the Egyptians, and came back. So history repeated, and they were to learn from that history. Now, history, in a general sense, may indeed be bunk, as is said, but biblical history is not. God has decided to record the history that we need, and we are to learn from that. We are to perceive the hand of God repeating in principle, and to learn from this, because all trust in secular human strength is absolutely abhorrent to him. It is a form of unfaithfulness to him, especially as you see from Ezekiel 29, they had to give the hand to Egypt. That is, they made a covenant with them when they were in covenant with God. Your covenant with God means that he will look out for you, ultimately. He will provide you with what you need to get through the wilderness to God's kingdom. They had shoes that didn't wear out, clothes that didn't wear out. They were given bread and water every day. Of course, we want far more than that in our humanity. And therefore, there is always that tendency to trust in human strength, to get that degree, to get that extra qualification, to get that job so that you can get up the ladder as you imagine, to trust in your own wit and in your own hard work. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do what is, humanly speaking, sensible. But there's a difference, and there's a fine line, but there is a difference between living responsibly, as we should do as believers, and trusting in Egypt. There is a difference there. And I admit the difference is fine in some points. And this is why you have to keep on examining yourself about this. Now, this prophecy then is against Egypt, but in verse 3, it starts talking about Assyria and how Assyria fell. Great big long description of the fall of Assyria, but it's all headed that this is to be told to Egypt. Presumably a messenger took this from where Ezekiel was in captivity, took the message to the people of Judah. Jeremiah at the same time was telling them the same thing, don't trust in Egypt, and then actually went and took the message to Pharaoh. I assume that God even held the hope that the Pharaoh would repent. Such is his hopefulness for people. But why then do we get this whole section now about Assyria when it's supposed to be a prophecy about Egypt? Well, I think the idea is that they were to perceive that what happened to Assyria was to happen to Egypt. Now, Assyria was once the great power, and Babylon was the new kid in town. They were just a little group arising, but then Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon took over from the Assyrians, and he declared himself master of Nineveh, or master of Assyria. So I think all this stuff about Assyria's fall is to say, look, Assyria fell before Babylon, and so shall Egypt. And indeed, that is what happened. And so the prophecies about the fall of Assyria are being applied to Egypt. And this sort of transference, prophetic transference is the phrase I've used for it elsewhere. This is quite typical of the scriptures. For example, we've recently read Ezekiel 26 to 28, prophecies about the fall of Tyre at the hand of the Babylonians. And I made the point when chatting about those prophecies that they didn't actually come true, really, because Babylon didn't do those things to Tyre, but a lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them were done by Alexander the Great and the Greeks. So the prophecies about Babylon's judgment of Tyre were actually reinterpreted and reapplied to the Greeks and Alexander rather than Nebuchadnezzar. And yet again, not all those words about Tyre came true, even at the hands of Alexander. And so you find when you read Revelation 18 about the fall of latter-day Babylon, that that's all in the language that Ezekiel uses about the fall of Tyre. So, you conclude, therefore, that this prophecy against Tyre being judged at the hands of the Babylonians was reinterpreted and reapplied then to Alexander the Great, and was then in turn totally reinterpreted and rescheduled and applied to the fall of latter-day Babylon. Now, exactly why God does this, we cannot perhaps fully perceive, but I have suggested earlier that this is because God is so sensitive to human behaviour. There are various factors, all dependent on human free will. Perhaps somebody repented. Perhaps there was a modicum of repentance in Tyre, perhaps because of the sailors who witnessed what happened to Jonah. They appear to have been men of Tarshish, in a boat of Tarshish, or Tyre, and they accepted Yahweh. Who knows? Something like that. Or maybe the wickedness of Babylon, the wickedness of the Greeks was so great that God did not want to use them completely. There are all these factors, and it shows how sensitive God is to human behaviour and how open he is. And his prophecies are not therefore determinate, that I say this and therefore it must happen, in the sense that that would cruelly sort of ride roughshod over any human free will or any human kind of volition. And so instead of that, God has this way of recalculating position and finding another way, another path forward, as it were, through history. And this is how he behaves also with us in our personal lives. He calculates a possible future. We may or may not meet some of the preconditions, and we may meet them, and we may even exceed expectation. Who knows? And therefore, another future and another path is then calculated and opened up. We're at the very limits here of, I think, our possibility to understand the hand of God in human history and in personal human history. But all the same, I do believe that this is his way amongst the nations and with man.